Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from His Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. As I look back at my working life, it had a lot of diversity about it. I've known many, many people in my lifetime that have only known one or two stations throughout their entire working career. I have known many. And along with that, always Christ, always the church, and always folks like you. But I came to the conclusion some years back that I was to benefit from the experience and the diversity, that these are the things and the ways that I learn. So let me take you back some 30-some years ago. I remember Tina and I were expecting John Boy. Work was tough to find. Dad was struggling to find enough work to pay for two households. So I had an opportunity to go to work for a printer. Very large printer. Many different locations, hundreds of employees in a number of different states. I got in an entry-level position, and they called it the hogger room. Okay? What the hogger room was simply was the recycle room, because back then, major companies saw basically the benefit of recycling, to be able to reclaim some of that money spent. This printer printed, and still does to this day, many of the popular magazines that we see on the shelf in the supermarket and elsewhere. The quality of printing was taken very seriously, as there were probably a list of 200 or 300 some printers in the entire United States, about the same size, and this little company just recently started within the last 20 years, ranked 32. So they took a great deal of pride in that. But where I worked, all I did was recycle stuff. I would get in my little pug with 6 or 7 cages behind me, and I would drive and make a big circle through the plant, stopping at the presses and picking up, exchanging one empty cage for a full one, of all the paper that didn't make it into a magazine. And then I'd get a phone call. You got to clean up the cores. The cores were that solid cardboard core that came in those great big rolls of paper that you can hide behind. They look like paper hay bales. And then there'd be a press, and it'd be out of ink. Well, the ink totes stood at least 1.5 feet taller than me and were as big around as half the choir department. And you'd pick that up with a forklift, and you'd take the empty one away, and you'd bring another one. And everybody used to laugh and joke and give you a hard time when you came around because they were pressmen, or they were working in the bindery, or they were working in design, and you just worked basically in recycling. That's what you did. Okay? The funny part about that job, though, is that if my machine broke down and I couldn't recycle that paper, things started to pile up. The cores, the presses didn't get ink, the boxcars and the trailers didn't get full of the paper, and it all started to take up space. All of a sudden, the presses weren't running quite as efficiently, and people were getting nervous and frustrated. Well, you stop to think that maybe that job was just a little more important than they gave it credit. Okay? And it was the same way with the bindery when the finished product would become to actually be made into a magazine. If that bound up, it didn't get to shipping, and from shipping, it didn't get on a truck, and everything just started to just not be so good. So what you came to realize was, whether you laughed at me driving around on my pug or not, or you were looking at the people that were loading the trucks to ship out the product itself, and everything in between, it was all necessary. It was all important, because if you didn't have all those pieces, everything suffered. Everything. Now, the owner of the company knew that. The owner of the company knew that all too well. He was from I actually met the man more than once. And the reason why you got to meet him was that every single employee, regardless where that employee was, regardless of the state or location, was important to him. And at the time I was employed there, he made it a point to meet every single employee for Christmas. I still actually have that picture somewhere. He would throw parties for every single plant for the adults for Christmas. He would throw kids' parties for the families with children. That was nothing short of a miniature theme park. And he was at them all. He staggered him so he could get on his helicopter or his jet or whatever he was running around in that day. And he made sure that he was there, that he was seen, and that the people in that room, regardless what they did, he made them feel important. He let them know they were important. He was the owner of the company, but he understood that if it wouldn't be for these rooms full of people, that nothing would work right. Nothing would get done. That this was the very, very, very fiber of his company. And he treated everyone that way until his untimely death. I wasn't there real long. Factory life wasn't something that I had aimed to do. It was a stop in the road, and it was a place where I learned a great deal. But I never forgot the lessons learned that it takes everybody in that plant. It takes everybody to make it work, and the owner knew it. Paul writes to us today in Corinthians about the body of Christ and its members. Now, first and foremost, let me start out by saying that when we think about the body of Christ, Christ is not the head of the body. Okay, you might find that interesting to hear that, but Christ is not the head of the body. Christ is the body. And the head, the feet, the arms, whatever it may be, its members all work in unison as one body. That's the picture that Paul is trying to paint. And he knows that if a hand is deformed, if a hand is injured, if a hand is gone, the body functions less efficiently. It doesn't do the same job. It doesn't accomplish the same things. It doesn't function as smoothly. And so it is with each and every part of the body. If you've ever seen people struggle, if you've ever grown older and had stuff wear out, okay, you get that. You get that, that when these things start to get hard, small things start to suffer. Well, I'm here to tell you that it's no different in the church. In this little church, in large churches, in the worldwide churches, it doesn't matter. That it's you, the members of the body of Christ, that make things happen, that make things work, that bring hope in a world in desperate need of it, that bring a story of joy and of hope and of life, even in death. These are the things that the members are about. Now, what Paul is trying to explain is that not everyone does the same thing, and that's the way God intended it. Each and every person here and each and every person hearing a sermon like this today needs to know we're supposed to be different. We're supposed to be. Because in being different, we bring different gifts. We bring things to meet different needs and different challenges in the church. And we do that as a group. But we also do that on an individual basis as a member of the body of Christ. That's the way God intended it. Now, I can't begin to tell you how many times over the years I've heard, well, I don't have any gifts. Oh, yeah, you do. You most certainly do. Each and every one of us is gifted in some way. What we need to come to understand is to explore and find out what those are. And don't belittle one another when we find out that they're simple gifts. That it's something that we really, really take for granted and yet is very, very important. Because it takes all these gifts that the body of Christ, that the church itself functions and makes a difference in people's lives. I have seen that here. I have seen how this place can work. I have been blessed to be a part of this congregation what will be 16 years this August. And I've seen it through good times and bad, find a way to support the body, to support those people in need, and to do so in big ways and in little ways. And what you need to understand is, yes, you do have gifts. And by the way, this is for visitors too. You do have gifts. You have something to share. And in through the love of Christ, we're compelled to share it regardless of how slight, of how small. we may think it is. That's the way God intended it, that it is different, yet it is unique, but yet it is all needed, all needed. I'm going to leave you today with a vision, a picture, an analogy of something that may be easier to walk out with and to carry with you. My mother loved to put together puzzles. And she loved the big ones. I don't even know how many pieces are in some of those puzzles. 500,000 pieces? This was something that she loved to do. The puzzle always had that main thing in the picture that was most important to the picture. And then the rest of the pieces were made up of borders or background. You know, little thing here, little thing there. And what was always disappointing to her was that when she got all done putting that together, she'd be missing a piece or two. Now, it never seemed to be the piece of that real important part of the picture. It was just off in a corner someplace, maybe even a fringe piece. But it was missing. And she went through all that effort, and she's short a piece or two. And the picture is incomplete. You might think that's not a very important piece, and yet you should take great pride in getting it to that point where it is. No, that wasn't the way she looked at it. She wanted it to be complete. And so does Jesus. For ministry itself is no different than that picture puzzle, where there's no two pieces the exact same size or shape. It is all individual. And yet if one piece is missing, whether it be part of the main picture or whether it be the backdrop, the picture of ministry is incomplete. And you, living out your baptism, which we will share and celebrate again today, are those pieces. And each one of you has a gift to bring to that picture. I encourage and I challenge each and every one of you to struggle and to prayerfully discern what those gifts are. Because gifts given are gifts meant to use. Find where you're gifted. Give thanks to God. And complete the picture. Amen.